Fathers and for the Morning is part two of Strong and Courageous, and our text is Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, which in the Bible read as follows. So they answered Joshua, saying, "All that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." God bless the reading of his word, and let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your words. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, thank you very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson in our walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, Joshua, in anticipation of the war that the Israelites were about to fight to conquer the Promised Land, begins to prepare the people for conquest. He gives a charge to the men whose families are going to remain on the east side of the Jordan, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, which reads, "And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all of your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise." Now, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh swore their allegiance to help the other tribes conquer the Promised Land when Moses gave them possession of the land east of the Jordan in Numbers chapter 32, and they reiterated their allegiance in Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, which is our text for today, which says, "So they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." Now, over 600,000 Israelite men of military age left Egypt, and Joshua is one of only two who were adults during the period of Egyptian slavery that were still alive at this juncture in the account. He was preserved alive because of his courage in the aftermath of his trip to spy out the land. If we were to review the record of the Israelites that died in the wilderness, we would find a record of faithless cowardice and of rejecting the provision of the Lord to bring them out of Egypt into the promised land. They had a preoccupation with returning to Egypt, first evidenced at the Red Sea after God visited the 10 plagues on Egypt and Pharaoh let the Israelites go. Selected verses in the 13th and 14th chapters of Exodus tell us, so God led the people around the way of the wilderness by the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night as a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now, as Israel was traveling in the wilderness from Egypt to the promised land, they began to hunger. And rather than ask God for a solution to their problem, they reiterated their desire for Egyptian slavery rather than God's liberation. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2 through 4 and verse 6 tell us, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now once the Israelites reached Mount Sinai, they heard the voice of the Lord speaking the Ten Commandments, which increased their fear of him. Moses went up on the mountain alone to receive the rest of the law from God. And after waiting 40 days for Moses to return, the Israelites once again lost faith and began to fear. Their strategy for dealing with their fear was to make an Egyptian idol to appease the gods that they knew in Egypt, although they were still eating the bread that God sent them from heaven. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 5 and verse 7 and 8 tell us, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for the people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly from the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Then there was the infamous episode in which the Lord commanded Moses to send men into the land to spy it out. Caleb, one of the spies, exhorted the people to prepare to enter the land, but he and Joshua were contradicted by the other spies. The reiterated desire of the people to return to slavery in Egypt caused God to withdraw his promise to bring the men that left Egypt into the promised land. Selected verses in Numbers 13 and 14 tell us, but the men that had gone up with Caleb said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Now this review of Israelite thinking points out the problem of the continuing immaturity among the Israelites, characterized by their desire to retreat whenever they are faced by stress. God expected that his demonstrations of power would increase the maturity of the Israelites and that their trust in his power. Since the change that God wanted in them was not forthcoming, God decreed that entrance into the land would be the purview not of this generation, but of the next generation of Israelites. Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 through 30 reads, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness, all of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. Now the reason for the constant failures of the Israelite adults is that they were living in their past rather than in their present. After their physical liberation from Egypt, God gave them access to his power, but every challenge caused them to desire to return to their comfort zone of Egyptian slavery. Now, many people, even in our generation, have a problem living in the present because of their preoccupation with the past. This week, I was reviewing a counseling episode in which a young woman brought a question to her counselor about her husband. She related, my husband has been asked by his employer to go to training in another part of the country. He will be flying out of town on Monday and home on Friday for the next 8 weeks. Of course, she said, people who travel on business are more prone to be unfaithful. Just a minute, the counselor interrupted. I've been traveling on business for 28 years, and I have never been unfaithful to my spouse. I don't know of any correlation between flying on an airplane and unfaithfulness. An individual is unfaithful to his or her spouse because of a character flaw, a lack of the ability to keep a commitment. Are you telling me that you married a man with low character? Well, no, said the young woman. It's just that my father traveled on business trips and he was unfaithful to my mother. The counselor replied, well, I don't see the correlation. Did your husband facilitate your father's unfaithfulness? Did your husband acquire women for your father? Did he know about your father's unfaithfulness and keep the information from your mother? Exactly how did your husband participate with your father? Well, the young woman replied, my husband didn't know my father before we met. I met my husband in college. So the counselor replied, if your husband didn't know your father and didn't participate with him in facilitating or concealing his adultery, why do you assume that your husband will duplicate your father's adultery? Is your husband related to your father? You didn't marry your father, did you? Well, no, said the young woman. I didn't marry my father, but both my father and my husband are men, and I just thought that men who travel on business tend to be unfaithful. The counselor said, well, your husband and your father are not related in any way, but your assumption is that your father can somehow pass the trait of infidelity to an unrelated man simply because they are both men. Is that reasonable? Would it not be much more reasonable to suggest that you are much more likely to be unfaithful than your husband because your unfaithful father is biologically related to you? If your father was going to pass a character trait to someone living in your house, it would more likely be you, would it not? And by your logic, it would be prudent for your husband not to have children with you, because a few years ago, a woman, Susan Smith, drowned her 5 children. Now, although you are not related to Susan Smith, the two of you are still women. I suppose it would be logical to assume that she could pass the trait of murder on to you, would it not? Now, in this example, the young woman was afraid that an event in her past would recreate itself in her future, although the past situation was unrelated to the future one. The fears that we develop during our childhood tend to be immature and irrational because as children, we are generally immature and irrational. Now, immature individuals substitute emotion, particularly the emotion of fear, for rational thought, and mentally anticipate that the worst from their previous experiences will recreate itself in their future experiences. Rather than learning and growing from their experiences, immature, fearful individuals who think as children seek out the refuge of the familiar, just as the Israelites kept trying to go back to Egypt because Egypt was familiar. As we grow mature, however, we should learn that we do not have to retreat to our past experiences because as adults, we have a much greater level of control over our situation than that we had as children. And generally, our fearful childish reaction is not appropriate for our adult status. The function of physical and emotional maturity is to give us tools with which to face situations without the fear and lack of control that we had as a child. Now, in the case of this young woman, she had no control over the type of character which her father displayed, as she was not involved in the process of selecting her father. She also had no control over the type of relationship that her parents had, as she did not select them for one another and could not dictate the type of marital relationship that they had with one another. She had, however, a great deal of control over the selection process by which she picked her husband, and even more control over developing the type of relationship with her husband that would make his infidelity an extremely unlikely circumstance. Let me say, by way of analogy, that a man who can get good cooking at home rarely goes to his next door neighbor's house for a meal. However, I have heard the adage, show me a spouse who won't, and I'll show you a neighbor who will. Now, the overriding admonition from God for our lives is found in the last sentence of the 18th verse of the first chapter of Joshua. We are called to be strong and very courageous. How can we do that? Well, to be strong and courageous, we must first change our focus from being self-centered to that of being other-directed. Jesus role models this behavior for us in the Garden of Gethsemane, as Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through 34, and Luke chapter 22, verse 41 through 43 describes. The Bible says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed, and he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Abba, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. So strength from heaven appears in response to our prayer for the ability to do the will of God. Rather than praying, Lord, give me what I want, we are change our self-directed focus to that of being other-directed, saying, as Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 through 16 tells us, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, the spirit of bondage to fear is self-centered. Our fear is that we may not be able to do what we wish to do, or that something will happen to us that we do not want to happen. Paul preaches to us that our maturation process is fueled by our ability to be oriented toward living lives in the manner to which we are directed by God. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned to be both full and hungry, to both abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, the ability to endure trials to further the kingdom of God is the concrete sign of the strength of God in our lives. In God's power, we have the capacity to endure anything that will further God's goals. When we find ourselves fearful, it is generally because we have taken our eyes off of the prize and are focusing on some selfish and self-centered goal. We may want to detour from our path to maturity in order to achieve some self-centered objective. For example, as a young man in our society might pursue a young woman in order to satisfy his sexual needs with her without the necessary predecedent commitment, which is marriage, that God requires. But once he achieves his sexual objectives, he finds himself in the position of having a great many things about which to be fearful. Suppose she gets pregnant. Suppose she had a sexually transmitted disease and has given it to me. Suppose she is or becomes a psycho and begins to stalk me as in the movie Fatal Attraction. Suppose God is displeased with me as he was in the episode of David and Bathsheba and begins to send me similar consequences as he alludes that he will in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. So fear and worry about all these consequences can be avoided simply by following the teaching of the scripture about male-female relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 through 9 tells us, Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner, and another in that. But to the unmarried and to the widows, I say, it is good for them if they remain even as I am, but if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now, what is the charge of God for our lives? And how can we facilitate the will of God being done in our lives? God gave the formula to Joshua to be strong and courageous in fulfilling the commands of God. Paul gives us the charge in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 16, which says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and has given them the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So as we endeavor to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ through our study of the interaction of God with the Israelites, let us remember the reason for our journey, that we might have the principles given in the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand that which Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles, and that we might be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Jesus died on Calvary that our immaturity in pursuing self-centered goals that cause us to sin might not impede our maturation process, but that we might repent of our sins and decide, because of our godly sorrow for our errors, to emulate Jesus' example, to live by God's commandments, and develop the maturity analogous to that of Jesus, who could say to his Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The purpose of strength and courage is to overcome weakness, willfulness, and fear, and to facilitate our ability to do God's will and his work in his way, that his kingdom might come, and that his will might be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Let us enter into our commitment to Christianity by putting aside fear, walking in the same spirit of strength, of courage, even of power, of love, and of a sound mind, with which Joshua entered the promised land of Canaan, as 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 10 tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that we have been able to bring forth your word once again, and we ask you that you would make us, as we make decisions in life and as we do the things in life that we have to do because we are commanded to do them by you, that you would make us strong and very courageous. Help us to have that spirit that brings, that casts out fear and brings love to the forefront, because rather than doing what we would desire to do, we have decided to keep your commandments. And help us to say, when faced with temptation, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And now, Lord, we thank you for all that are in the house. We ask you to give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your wisdom, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning for another opportunity to come out to your house of prayer. We ask you that you would continue to bless us with this stimulating repartee that we have with one another. Help us, Lord, to understand your word. Help us to grow by the sharing. Help us to understand our responsibility to those who are around us, to let them know that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. Now we're praying for Dr. Allen on the East Coast and all of the things about whom he is concerned, his organization, Brother Lewis Quarterman. We're asking you that you bless him as he is still awaiting a heart transplant. Praying for Brother Bill Uatt and his wife, June, as they are dealing with the ravages of diabetes as they are making Brother Uatt ill, and she has to support him. And we're asking you that you would give them both the strength that they need and the courage that they require to face this situation, and let them hold on to your unchanging hand, and pray that you would bring them out with a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for Dr. Allen's grandson, who's growing and doing well, and we ask you that you continue to be with his son Mark and his wife, and that you let that little family grow and develop. You know, we're praying for Sister Allen and those for whom she is concerned, or her son Brian, who appears to be digressing in his illness. And we're asking you, Lord, that you would be in the life of this young man, that you would touch his body and give him strength, that you would help the disease that he has in his blood to be moderated, that he might be able to put out some good red blood cells and keep the strength of his body going on, and that you would also touch his mind, that he might be able to recognize that you are here, that he might be able to understand the history that you have given, the background that you have given us, that he might be able to come to a decision that he will follow you, because I have decided to follow Jesus, and I would pray that he would do so as well. We're praying also for Seneca and Takika as they move back to the community and are seeking employment. We ask you that you would bless in that the two of them might be able to order their steps in the way that you would have them to do so. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless their young minds and give them wisdom as they make decisions on a daily basis about one another, that they might do so in the way that you would have them to do. We're praying, Lord, we're thanking you, Lord, for a wonderful weekend at the store, Jamisha's Ruffles and Lace. We're thanking you, Lord, that those who are in the area have decided to patronize, and that things have gone very well for them over there. We've been praying for them, and we're thanking you that you've sent somebody by. And we ask you that you continue to do so, that the store might continue to do well. We're also still in prayer for all those that Sister Allen has talked about, her son and her daughter, her son-in-law, her parents, cousins, uncles, and all. And we're praying also for Sister Morgan as she is still recovering from her reconstructive surgery. And we ask you that you'd help her to get her emotions on more of an even keel, that you would give her comfort as she recuperates from that accident. We also continue to pray for Miss Sabrina and Mr. Joey as well. And we ask you to bless in that venue as well. Praying for the Beard family, for Marcia and Julian and Paul Cross and Carlos Young. We're asking you, Lord, that you would bless those whom my wife is concerned about, Sister Rachel Dima's mother. We're asking that you continue to go with her and stand by her, Mother Z, and Brother Ed Rodriguez and Brother Tyson and Mother Versa and Mother Wills. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless Teresa as she is carrying a baby to term and has a disease at the same time, and that you would intervene in her situation, give her the physical strength that she needs to take care of the baby and her body while she also takes care of herself. And we also pray for Paul. We ask you, Lord, that you give him traveling mercy as he goes up and down the dangerous highway. Help him to make it to all the places that he has to go safely, and allow him to have good technical solutions for those who come under the purview of his company, that they might be pleased with the work that they're doing and give them even more business. Still praying for Rick as he is in Kuwait. And we're asking you, Lord, that you bless him over there and keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, his unit, his squad. We ask that you bless those who are over there with him, that they might all be able to come back home with a glorious testimony of safety in the theater of the war and your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Praying for Sister Nikki Owens, and we're asking you that you bless Brian and his wife as they struggle with their marriage. And we ask you that you would go with them and stand by them, that you would give them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, that they might recognize the error of their ways and come into their right minds and do that which you would have them to do. For I know that you say in your word that you hate divorce and marital separation. So we ask you to intervene in their situation and bring them back together with love. Praying for Sarah Roberts and for Eric and Amanda, that they might be able to resolve their situation, and also that their wireless venture wraps up quickly as we are quickly approaching the end of the year. So we're praying for Brother Edwards and his family, for Brother Paul Morgan. We're asking you, Lord, that you would bless him as he is teaching in the Detroit public schools, and there appears to be a lot of trouble in that system right now. And we ask you, Lord, that that those who are in charge and those who are participating would be able to resolve the problems that they have there. We ask you, Lord, that they would continue to focus on the training of the children in that system while they are resolving the financial problem caused by the loss of enrollment. And we ask you, Lord, that they figure out some way to do that that would not reduce the quality of education in that school system. And we know that you can, and we know that you will. Even as you move the Red Sea, we know that you're able to move in this situation. Also praying for Sister Cora Carruthers, and we ask that you bless her as she recuperates from double heart surgery, and that you would give her strength in every part of her body, that she might be able to return with a glorious testimony of that which you have done for her. Praying for the Fullers and this store over across the street. Praying for Brother Lee and his family, for his wife, and for Sister Frieda Durham. We're asking you, Lord, that you go with theirs as he Europe trots around the continent over there, that you would allow him to enjoy his time while he's there, to see the sights, to take in the culture, to enjoy himself, and then at the same time get his lesson. And then when time comes for him to return back home, that you let bring him back home safely, that all of the folks who might have harm in their mind be looking to the west as he travels to the east, and not bother him at all, and bring him back home safely at the appointed time. Continue in prayer for Brother Pillow, for Sister Teddy, and for Sister Erin Marsh, and we just ask you, Lord, that you bless Cedric as he's here going to a new school, that you'd allow his experiences there to be those that are such that are beneficial to him, that he might learn and grow by his participation in the new school in which he is a member. And he's asked to go with him and stand by him, give him a steel trap mind, that what the teacher says he might retain, that when the time for the test comes, he'll be able to easily regurgitate back to the teacher all that they have given him. And we continue in prayer to Brother Cody Robinson, who has been hospitalized, and we ask him, Lord, that you would bless him as he has had a brain operation, and that you would bring him out. Bless his situation on this world. We pray for the McClure family, for Brother and Sister McClure. We thank you for them being here. We also pray for their son and their daughter, who are in college. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless the collegiate situation where they are in each of those colleges, that they might provide them with a wholesome education, that they might not only retain academic knowledge, but that at the same time, they might retain their spirituality, that they might do those things that you command in your word, that they may live their lives in such a way that would bring their parents comfort. We continue to pray for Veronica Olney and for Mike Kraft as well as they are battling with cancer. We ask you that you bless them as we go on from this place. Pray for Sister Eva Platter and for the Winston family. Sister Winston, we ask you that you bless her wherever she may happen to be today, or that you keep her in the hollow of your hand and allow her to continue to recuperate from her shoulder injury. Also praying for her husband, for Sister Donna Carl, and for Sister Lynn Coyter, all whom she has asked us to pray for. We ask you to bless them in all that they do and bring them and give them the healing that they require. Lord, I'm praying for Dad. I'm asking you that you continue to bless him and go with him and stand by him. Also praying for my brother Marvin as he administers and presides over teachers in college in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That you go with him and stand by him in all that he does. Also praying for Sister Viola Frazier, for Brother Leo McGill. I'm praying for Aunt Naomi, Lord. We ask you that you let the time that she and Dad spend together in the city be wonderful and glorious for them. Allow them to give one another companionship and just keep them in the hollow of your heart hand. Keep them safe as they travel across the city. Praying for Jenny Morgan and for the Northern family down in Houston, for the Perkins down in Atlanta, these young men who are back in their professorial roles. We ask you, Lord, that you would give them good lessons to give to their students, that the students might grow and develop in all that that they are doing down there, that they might, that their tuition, that their training might be worth the cost of their tuition. Also praying for Brother Russell in White Hills, Brother Sifford in Iraq, for Reverend Humphrey, whose daughter is getting ready to carry that baby to term, and also for the Webb family. They're not here with us now, but we're still praying for them. And we ask you, Lord, that you would bless all that are in the house today. We ask that you give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place, that you bless the television station, the Forgotten Man Ministry, those who are here in town from the hurricane of last year, those who are in the armed forces, both in the nation and abroad, the young men and women in this neighborhood, and the salvation of our family and friends. Bless us all, Lord, and we thank you for the place that you've given us here and for the word that has gone forth. We thank you for your word that we might display it and that we might use that word to enrich our minds and decide how we should live, and that we might live according to your word. Help us, Lord, Lord, not to depart from it from the right nor to the left, to add nothing to it nor to take it away. And Lord, I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. Bless her as we go down from this place. Let her have a great week this week over at the state police. Let them have a great time over there and get all their work done as they are trying to do. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Jesus Christ died on the hill called Calvary, was buried in Joseph's new tomb, and rose from the dead on that first Easter Sunday morning, that we might have a right and a just right to the tree of life. These are the facts of history. They are without serious dispute in the historical community. And those who let us remember the history that we have learned and the reasoning for the history, and help us to have a glorious testimony that we know because we know because we know because we know that although the wages of sin is death, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Let us remember all that Jesus Christ has done for us, and let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen. Well, there you go.